welcome to Movies, Films, and Flicks. I am Mark Hoffmeyer, and joining me is a man that is about to spend a year of his life on a desert island. It's Nick Rehack.
Hey.
How are you getting there?
You know, I was wondering that myself.
They haven't told you?
No one told me. I don't know if it's one of those like, hey, we're going on a trip, and then we're not getting to the destination, because All of a sudden I just wake up in a raft. And there's an island, and I either float to it or paddle over to it, and so it begins.
Now, you've joined us on our jet ski action scene draft. Mm-hmm. You've joined me on a bathroom fight draft. And now we are doing a discussion about which five soundtracks would we take with us to score. It has to be at least two score soundtracks, entirely score soundtracks, to a desert island where we are going to live for a year. Not like we're each separate islands. Maybe I could wave at you with like a palm frond, but different island. Somehow you and I are going to have, I'm thinking this, think about this, vinyl, like record players, solar powered.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Like that.
Somehow you have Bluetooth and you just have a banging speaker system. That's also solar powered. So you go to an island. They fully expect you to live this year. Like, you're not going to the Deep Rising Island where a creature is going to eat you suddenly. Like, this isn't Skull Island. But it's not like, it's not Pleasure Island. It's more like Gilligan's Island. But
it's
you're
not
by yourself.
Great.
Does that mean, like, you could make a bamboo bicycle, like in Gilligan's Island, on this island where you're going. So it's like, you will be comfortable. And when you are rescued a year later, people are going to look through all of your stuff, and your apartment's going to be pretty sweet.
It would have to be.
Like, people are like, this is bigger than my apartment in L.A. Like, that's what someone's going to say, just real angrily.
Well, the whole thing is the apartment, really. This is one big studio apartment.
Jesus, that was 8 miles long.
Like, look at that view.
I saw... Is that volcano dormant? Dormant?
Man, the resale value is going to be high, huh?
Is that salmon in this lagoon? How did that happen?
Lagoon.
Yeah, you have a lagoon. Oh. You have a freshwater lagoon fueled by ice glaciers under the island. Don't ask me how.
Ooh, okay.
You also have a geothermal area, too, so you can just soak in a geothermal spring. And then you also have saltwater, like, lagoon. So you
I'm
have,
not against any of that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you're still going to have to like spear your fish. You're still going to have to start fires. But I'm telling you, your bamboo pad is going to be sweet.
You know, it's funny. My roommates in college, we spent our first year in the dorm. Second year moved out off campus, and the floors were repurposed bamboo floors.
Wow.
So it's like it's coming full circle.
Full circle. And you know what's crazy? In Castaway, when he's on this island, when they find... Well, they don't find him later. He escapes the island. But he's just... He's wildly skinny, ripped in shape, just bearded. When you get picked up a year later, you're going to look the exact same.
And you know what? That kind of bums me out a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I would like to have slimmed down a little bit, have a crazy beard, you know, weathered face, but a determined weathered face.
We just found Nick Rehack after a year on an island, and you're just wearing a Nirvana shirt and cargo shorts.
Hey, guys, what's
going on? You want some tea? You know, like, I made some coconut refreshers for everybody.
And don't get too close to the parrot, he'll bite. You have a parrot?
What? Oh, man. And then, like, you know, like, oh, gosh, I love this idea. This makes me very... So, like, and also, I'm just, one last thing. Somehow you realize that on this island was kind of repurposed from a bunch of pirates that were modern day pirates that were living there. And while you're there, you found a massive bunker of like whatever booze and drinks you like. So you can have LaCroix. I don't care what it is, you know, bottles of whiskey. So you're stocked, right? And you have fresh water supply, but it's just you. No TV. None of that. Unless, like, the beautiful sights are TV, basically. And you try to, like, put a box and look through it. That's how, like, conditioned you are. You actually make a little bamboo thing that's the size of a cell phone. You just stare through it.
Man, this ad is taking forever. I just want this app to load.
Okay,
and
so now that we just...
You're like, oh, good, it's my sleep aid.
Oh, man. You're just talking on it when they find you and there's nothing there.
Hey, Mr. Oh, no. Guys, approach him very slowly.
I just love the idea of all these, like, paramedics coming to the island, and they barge into your door, and you're just kind of hanging out doing calisthenics. And, like, everything's perfect.
What's going on, fellas? I got some fresh coconut water. I just cracked it this morning.
Whiskey?
There's Coke Zeros in the back.
You've, like, somehow there's malt and barley on your island, and you've just made beer.
Mm.
I mean, you don't want to leave, basically. But so what we're doing is, this is a wild topic, because if you think about how niche our ideas were for jet ski action scenes and bathroom fights, we're taking only 5 soundtracks. So I just want to let everyone know listening that we're basically taking only 10 soundtracks. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of soundtracks. So we can't take them all with us. So some soundtracks that you love won't be taken. And this isn't a best soundtrack episode. It's just which 5 would keep us going by ourselves on this island.
Mm-hmm.
Don't scream that something has been left out, because we have to leave a lot out. Actually, be happy that we picked one you might take, because that's statistically... I'm telling people what to do. My apologies. Right now, I would have turned it off and be like, don't tell me what to do. Throwing my bamboo phone out the window.
Hand cranking the podcast machine.
But the reason I wanted to do this is because of your new podcast, or your podcast, yeah, Rehack Radio. And... like, that's what we call it, right? Podcast.
I think so, yeah. It's got to be like a hybrid podcast radio show, yeah.
So, I mean, it's beautiful. Everyone Thank should you. Listen to it. You know your music. And you and I have been in a couple bands together, Gary and the Rancors.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, I figured let's bring Nick on and let's talk music. Because I've made you talk jet ski action scenes, which is my forte. So I wanted to have you come on and talk about your forte, which is music.
Let's do it. So let's do it.
I'm going to let you take – what's your first soundtrack? What was your number one pick?
My number one – so we're going 1 to 5?
Yeah, well, like, you do one, I do one, or I have no order, but I'm just going to mix it up. But, yeah, okay. I pick 5, you pick 5. But did you have one that came to you first that you automatically knew?
The one I automatically knew was the soundtrack to Fantasia.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. That old chestnut from 1940. It's my favorite animated film ever. And I think at this stage of my life, if it's not in the top 5, it's definitely in the top 3 favorite films ever for me. It's nice to just have music, like just legitimate music. There's no vocals. There's no nothing. It's just music that can incite emotion, music that you can just relax to. And there's a lot of different pieces and types of styles of pieces in here, which is nice. I mean, yeah, you have The Sorcerer's Apprentice. That's cool. You have Toccata and Fugue. I get it. Night on Bald Mountain into Ave Maria, that's fine. But, I mean, you got Ride of Spring on there. That's one of the most incredible pieces ever written. And if the energy you could have from that while you're chopping down a palm tree, or you're reeling in that fish that you've been trying to catch, or crafting a spear and running through the assumed jungles of the island looking for birds or small animals with which to cook, like, there's just so much. And then there's celebratory music. You have the Pastoral Symphony. Like, all these different feelings and emotions you can have, they can be amplified by the music of Fantasia. It's the Philadelphia Orchestra, one of the best out there. Stokowski conducted them for this. And fun fact, after that, Eugene Ormandy took over as conductor. And I'm actually working on collecting all of the vinyl releases of his recordings. And I'll say this, he's got a lot of them.
Like, well, you know, I have bananas. I have bananas in St. Pete. So next time I'm down there, when I travel back down to Florida, they say it's the world's largest record store. I can check it out, man. See if there's anything you don't have.
That would be fantastic. Because right now I got about 20 of them, and I have like another 100 to go. He did a lot. He did not sleep on that job. He definitely kept it going. But the important thing is, it's just nice to have a wide variety of scores and emotions that it evokes. Because sometimes when you have a score, it can be very one note, which is purposeful, and that's fine. I'm not knocking it. But it has that just one type of energy that it's trying to give and put out. But this one, I feel like it really does a good job of mixing it up and giving you different vibes and different feels.
Oh, that'd be – because I love that. You have – it's just sort of life-affirming. It's – get you out of bed in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
It's work music that you could work to. You could exercise to it. You could train the local parrots to mm-hmm. clean stuff while listening to it. Like you could really, you do a woodwind choir with them.
Absolutely. All the trees, you just cut them down. You can cut them two size. You know what I mean? Some yep. parrots might have shorter wings than others. Some might have bigger beaks.
Wow.
You can adapt and adjust to that. We could have piccolos. We could have whatever smaller than a piccolo. We could have flutes. We could have all kind of woodwinds. A clarinet, maybe.
Yeah, you could do it.
Why not?
And just teach
anything is possible.
The birds how to play. When the rescue crew shows up, and you're like, guys, watch this. And again, the birds.
And a
just...
one, and a two. Breaking the when the saints go marching in. Man, that sounds really good. I know.
And then you have bamboo poles just cleaning everything, and people just run away like witchcraft. You're carrying a spear and you have a hat. You don't want to leave. Like you have to. Like there's like we successfully rescued Nick Rehak from the island, and it's eight people wrestling you.
Yeah. I don't want to go. No, you need to come back to civilization. No, I don't.
Well, I love that pick.
It taught me to teach him the tenor saxophone. He was an alto. I brought him to a tenor.
He's gone crazy. We need to give him water. And you're like, I'm already hydrated.
Look at all these empty coconuts.
Put an IV in him. Why? I'll meet you there. I got my boat.
We need more Coke Zero.
I love this island you're on. In my head, it's like 50 feet off the shore, but I don't like that. Like, it's, Okay. All right. Let's establish something real quick. So to give our listeners a visual, how big is the island? You get to pick.
You know what? I like that you throw out an 8 Mile Island. I think it's your traditional oval shaped.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe in the southern part, you have a crescent piece cut out of it for the lagoon, right? For the water to come in. I think the northern side, a little mountainous. You might have to do a little bit of climbing to get to the top. So I'm thinking maybe in the north you have like a treehouse. And in the south along the lagoon you have a cabana, maybe split time between the two.
Like a winter and summer home.
Exactly.
Or your weekend getaway.
Yes. Oh, man. I'd love just a weekend getaway hanging out in the mountains. Then you come back to the lagoon. How ideal is that?
Just refreshed.
Just, oh.
Like you take a week.
It'd be a nice walk.
You take a week on the West Coast, and when you get back, you're like, I need a vacation for my vacation.
Oh, man, these coconuts are not going to pick themselves, huh? But yeah, I think just a traditional setup like that is what's in my mind. And then as far as, you know, animals and creatures, yeah, you have some birds coming by, and you kind of wonder where they're coming from because you don't really have civilization or life anywhere else. Fish galore.
A lot of goals.
Yeah, just almost too many.
Yeah.
Almost too many. And sometimes you got to shush them a little bit or go inside and close your palm blinds mm-hmm. and close your bamboo windows just so you can hear the music over the sounds of the gulls.
I love it. Yeah, that's your one. Like, what was the worst part about your island? Was it the poisonous snakes, the malaria? Man, those gulls made a lot of noise.
You ever try to sleep at night or just watch a sunset in peace?
Like, I don't see poisonous snakes on this island.
I don't either, because where would they come from? That's my biggest thing about this island is just where. Like, I couldn't imagine anything outside of fish. I mean, they have bugs of varying degrees and sizes and things, but I couldn't imagine, like, squirrels or rabbits or anything like that. Well, maybe, because, you know, rabbits and squirrels tend to be herbivores. But it just comes to that idea of like, how did they get there? But then again, how did we get there? So
we're asking some deep questions.
It's almost too deep, some might say. two goals too deep.
Two goals too furious. Oh, I love this island. I see it all right now. Brisk morning jog. The sand's not too squishy, so when you run, it's not like your feet are sinking into the sand.
Exactly.
Like, you know the tides. One day a plane crashes and a bunch of sweet stuff rolls the shore.
Ooh, I like that. But the pilots, no, it was unmanned, so nobody's hurt.
Yeah, okay, here's what happened. One pilot got a text message that something happened, so he bailed out and just let the plane fly, and then it crashed, and then you get a bunch of cool stuff.
Absolutely. I just sitting there waiting for the crates to roll in.
Listen to your music. You want to hear my first pick?
Absolutely.
All right. So this is a movie I loved, and then this is a soundtrack I think I loved even more, and I actually considered several soundtracks from this director, but I settled on the Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou soundtrack.
Oh,
Now,
what a good one.
Because there's so many different elements to it. I love the Royal Tenenbaums soundtrack, but I'm not listening to Needle in the Hay when I'm alone.
No.
On an island. That's the last thing you want. Right?
Not at all.
No. Like, that's... That... Woof. And I love the Darjeeling Limited soundtrack. I love the
Darjeeling Limited.
Rushmore has a wonderful soundtrack. But when you think about Steve Zissou, you have the score, like the Shark Attack theme, which I adore. But then you also have, like, Search and Destroy by the Stooges, and The Way I Feel Inside by the Zombies. And most importantly, you have the David Bowie covers by Sue George. So he does Life on Mars. He does, what, 5 years? He covers Rock and Roll Suicide, Rebel Rebel, Life Space Oddity. I love the Portuguese covers of David Bowie songs. And I'm just thinking to myself, when I'm on this island, I got Search and Destroy to pump me up if I'm ever looking to hunt and just scare the crap out of some squirrels who are living peacefully before I got there. I put that song on. Or if I just want to relax and set up a really, really nice hammock that I made and just listen to Sue George cover David Bowie. That's just very happy to me, right? Like, it just, it's happiness. Like, yeah, just... Like, you know what? For my wedding, my wife made me a lawn gnome that was painted with the Life Aquatic uniform. She found a non-painted gnome, and she painted him to look like the shoes and everything to look like he's a gnome as part of Steve Zissou's crew.
Oh man, I love that.
Yeah, it makes me so. And then she also got me a jaguar shark ornament.
What?
Yeah,
what?
And then I also have a Tim Doyle Life Aquatic thing. I'm looking. I love Life Aquatic, and I also have a lot of Jaws. I just like sea movies. Yeah, that's it. But realization time with Mark Hoffman. Yeah, it's the. I don't know. I just love this soundtrack. It's one of my all-time favorites, and it's one I listen to the most. I listen to this soundtrack a lot. So, yeah, I'm taking Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou with me.
That's such a good pick. That's such a good pick. My favorite Bowie song is Life on Mars, and it's a powerful song. And sometimes you don't want to cry during the sunset, so you can throw on Sue George, and he's a little more relaxing. Watching the sunset by Tiki Torch. Maybe you're eating some salmon or a fancier, more tropical fish dish.
Whoa.
Just something relaxing.
Oh, man. Just like a nice coconut curry salmon that I just somehow know how to make. Like, when we get to this island, we just somehow know how to do things.
Just the spices are just – they just so happen to be there. Hey, look at this paprika plant.
Is that basil? Plentiful blazed basil?
Look at these old bay vines. We
You're walking one day and something
cheese grater.
You're walking one day and something falls out of a tree and it's just a thing of old bay. You're like, oh, weird.
Oh, now I don't have to leave.
Just bumps you on your head.
Oh my goodness.
Well, my luck.
Well, I'll be.
What's next? Oh. All right. What's your second soundtrack?
My second soundtrack is a bit of a cheat, but it's the official soundtrack. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's the one to American Graffiti.
Oh, yeah.
But it's called 41 Original Hits from the Soundtrack of American Graffiti. You have 41 tunes on here spanning from 1953 into 1973.
Wow.
And it's wonderful. The number of bands you have on here is absurd. Bill Haley and the Comets, the Beach Boys, the Monotones, Platters, Lee Dorsey, Clovers, Chuck Berry, Fats Domino, Booker T, the MGs, Big Bopper, Buddy Holly. You have all of this 50s and 60s music that inspired the singer-songwriters of the 70s, so your Bruce Springsteen, Tom Waits, Frank Zappa, and all them. So it's nice to listen to the inspiration, to your inspiration, right? Like, I love Bruce Springsteen, I love Tom Waits, so it's like, oh, who are they in? Oh, these are the guys that they're into. This is what I have to listen to. Okay, now what are they into? Why are they making the music that they're making? And it's nice to go back and listen to it and relive it. Like, bizarrely, Guns N' Roses did a cover of Since I Don't Have You. Why? I don't know. But it's a 1958 song by the Skyliners. It was a five-piece group out of Pittsburgh. Two very different styles of song. But it's a beautiful song, and sometimes you're going to get a little melancholy on the island. You don't want to sing Chantilly Lace. you don't want to sing Johnny Be Good. You'd rather hit us since I don't have you. You know, you want to have just a little bit of sadness, but then all of a sudden you pick it back up with Do You Want to Dance? And the parrots are like, yeah, okay, we can take a five.
Some Surfing Safari?
I don't think that's on there.
Oh.
No, hold on.
Do You Want to Dance?
It is. No, Surfing Safari is on there.
Because that's an American Graffiti song, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not American Graffiti is not a band. I know it's a Beach Boys jam, but I remember that being on there.
Yeah, it's one of those movies, too, where it's a great movie. It's a cruising movie. You know what I mean? It's everybody just getting together, cruising around, saying what's up. And you can kind of do that on the island. You can cruise around, say what's up to the birds, say what's up to the gulls, let the gulls know what's going on. You can play Get a Job by the Silhouettes.
Wow. Huh?
Show those birds what's up.
Stop making so much racket while you're blaring music.
Bums.
Get a job. Stop crapping in my water supply.
Throw on the empty husk of the coconut.
Like a helmet?
Ooh, you could make a helmet. You could make body armor. You could make a person, like a little, like a dummy out of coconuts.
Well, you could train, like a JCVD movie, with that thing, like punching it.
Yes. Instead of kicking trees with your shins, you could kick at coconut people with your shins.
Okay, guys, watch this. You just pulverize a bamboo tree with your shins.
Ha! Yeah!
My nerve endings are repeatedly. Dead. Yeah.
How is he doing that?
People are like, stop. Stop. Like, I don't feel anything.
Don't hurt him.
Yeah. You know, I got to say, Do You Want to Dance might be one of the greatest 2-minute bops ever made.
Oh, absolutely. It's so simple. It's, hey, do you want to dance? And it's one of those songs where it kind of keeps going and you're like, come on. It's a fun song where you just bring them in and there's nothing like no weird double entendre or questionable about it.
Oh, yeah, just do you want to dance?
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, okay.
Not a euphemism.
No, you're literally dancing.
Do you want to literally dance all night?
Yeah,
literally
okay.
Squeezing
song ends.
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I'll dance with you. What?
That's it.
We're just going to do the twist. Oh, we're going to do the twist, all right. What?
Yeah, we are. No, literally, like a dance move. Yeah. No. Stop taking everything I'm saying and twisting it. Yeah, twist. No.
Oh, we're going to twist and chill tonight. No, Netflix and twist.
Yeah, Netflix and twist tonight. No, like, I'm asking to dance. The song's almost over. Yeah, it is. You know what that means. No.
That's a no, Bruce I don't, Roger. Tell me what it means.
That's a Gary and the Rancor song right there, if I ever heard one. I just want to dance. So do I.
It's 5 seconds long, and it's a critique like of Russian politics of the 80s.
That's a great song. Do you want to hear my second pick?
Absolutely.
All right, so this is a weird one, but I had to do it because I'm a big Jim Jarmusch fan. I almost considered wearing my Woo PS shirt from The Dead Don't Die because in The Dead Don't Die, RZA is a Woo PS delivery driver.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And he just drops, you know, facts on... the squirrely kid from the Missouri movie.
Oh, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri?
Yeah, yeah. And then the kid who gets thrown out the window. But so I love Jarmusch. I love when RZA pops up in Coffee and Cigarettes, too. That's another one of my favorite movies. I love Only Lovers Left Alive because the music is just wonderful. Dead Man that he directed has a glorious soundtrack as well. But I am going to go with Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai. And I'm going with the Japan import version because I had to find a score, and this is instrumental. So I'm going – because for some reason the instrumental score went to Japan first, not the United States, and they just released it on vinyl because of the 20th anniversary.
Mm.
So I – or 15th, one of those. But yeah, so I got the movie on Criterion. I love Ghost Dog, but I also love RZA, and I do love Wu-Tang. Like, I don't know. I love the gravel pit and, like, all that gets me pumped up. But it's just – a RZA score for a Jarmusch film starring Forest Whitaker as a samurai. It's a legit score. And it's just, it gets you pumped up. There's nothing melancholy about it. Like, there's no, like, okay. You know what's weird? Like, I was thinking about some other scores that I really like. So, you know, I love Requiem for a Dream score. It's heavy. But I don't want to listen to that while I'm on an island. Because it'll just wreck my day. Oh, I love... Last of the Mohicans. What is it? Promontory? I think that is a wonderful jam, but it just brings up too many emotions in me, right? Mm. I have almost all the John Carpenter scores, pretentious Mondo vinyl. I love them, but they go to some dark territory. I don't want to listen to Halloween while I'm on an island. I don't want to listen to Jaws when I'm on an island. I love the Guest soundtrack as well. And, you know, I love the synth beat. And I also love Ravenous, that score, but it's so discordant. It would just get my heartbeat all weird. So I don't want that when I'm on the island. So I just want The Way of the Samurai, Ghost Dog, RZA, the Japan import version, because it's instrumental. So it's not the, I define an instrumental version, but I just love what he did on this soundtrack. It's very underappreciated. So I'm taking Ghost Dog by RZA.
That's a great pick. I love the soundtrack RZA did for, Afro Samurai.
Oh, really?
He threw all that together. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I got to listen to that now.
That was really well done. He actually has like a bit of a cameo in there and stuff. But yeah, when he threw all that together, it was fantastic and I enjoyed it so much. So I'm definitely going to have to go back and revisit. I don't own Ghost Dog, but I have the Criterion channel. So I'm like 90% certain that's on there.
I just, I dig it. And I like that style of music. It gets you kind of pumped up, but this is chill too. Like it's just I could just put this on and be happy with it. It wouldn't get my heartbeat going. It wouldn't scare me. It wouldn't it doesn't elicit a lot of emotions. I just don't want a lot of emotions when I'm on this island. I just want to kind of be laid back. So I'm taking that. That's my second pick.
That's a great pick.
Thank you, man.
It's a really great pick. I like it. Just to, and sometimes you just need a bop. You need to just walk around being like, yeah, I own this place. What's up? Maybe scare the birds a little bit. Let them know, hey, we're friends. But you better look out.
And I think the goals will come by and hang out during this. Like, this is sort of my hangout. This is when everyone gets along.
This is, I just got out of the hammock, and I'm going to gamble over to the Lagoon House.
Yeah. And I just yell it, hey, go, put the soundtrack on. And it does it.
Hit it, bird.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Jock jams.
Yeah.
You ready for this? Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. This is a conga line when you're rescued on the beach. Just every animal on there. And there's the one like hermit
on it too. Come on, guys.
There's a hermit that lives on your island that you discovered whenever, and he only comes out whenever they only come out whenever this song is played.
Hey, dun, fellas. Dun. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. Who's that hermit? Y'all wanted to stop? No.
This song ends and the hermit scampers away.
Okay, bye.
Yep, and you never hear from him ever. Like the most pleasant hermit on your island. Just comes out during jock jams.
And that's the only time, and you forget too, because it's like, I've been a while. Let me play jock jams. I wonder why I haven't. Oh, because the hermit's coming through.
Yeah, exactly. All right, what's your third pick?
My third pick is going to be the soundtrack to Reservoir Dogs.
Whoa.
Now, I like the music. George Baker selection, Blue Swede, Harry Nilsson. I like it, but to me, the important part of that soundtrack is Stephen Wright as the radio announcer for K-Billy Super Sounds of the 70s, because it gives you that feeling of like, I'm listening to the radio. Sometimes when you have a score for a film like that, they're going to play a section of the dialogue, right, or clips from it, and they do the Madonna speech. It's fun, but it's nice to have that vibe of like, you know, you're in a car. It gives you those little niceties and things that you kind of take for granted back in the real world, you know, of just driving somewhere and getting somewhere instead of, oh, I have to walk by foot. You're not always going to want to walk the 7.5 miles to get to the treehouse in the mountains. It's worth it, but sometimes you'd rather just take a car, or be there in 5-6 minutes instead of 5 or 6 days.
Mm-hmm. So this is for when you're in your bamboo car cruising along.
Yes, or the bamboo bike, just taking a little bit of time. But even then, you know, you're hooked on a feeling, so you're kind of taking it slow on the bike. But when you get to like Magic Carpet Ride or I Gotcha, that's when you're like, oh, we're picking it up a little bit here. Picking up speed.
This is a wonderful, man, Magic Carpet Ride, Hooked on a Feeling. Yeah. And of course, we got to bring it up, but it's what, Stuck in the Middle with You.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And you get a bunch of Stephen Wright in here, too. 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, you get at least 6 or 7 breakups. You have a song called Coconut, for Pete's sake.
Exactly. Right? It's perfect. And all of a sudden, you're like, what am I feeling tonight? And Harry Nilsson starts singing. You're like, I guess I'm having some coconut. And then you just go right at it. And the nice thing about those Stephen Wright snippets, they're just that. They're snippets. I think the longest one is like 20 seconds. So it's just the right amount. It's not overlong. It's not like, okay, I'm ready for this to be over now. Like, it is. It's Baby Bear's Porridge. It's just right.
Oh, baby. Now, I have a question. Stuck in the Middle with You, would you play that a lot, or would that kind of bring back murderous memories?
I don't know. I honestly, Tim, that's not my favorite song on the album. I think like Little Green Bag is stronger. Obviously, Coconut. Clearly, like the apex, the big moment in Reservoir Dogs is Stuck in the Middle with You. And it might even get you to kind of move and quasi-dance a little bit like Michael Madsen does in the movie. So maybe every so often I would, but I think I would kind of stick to the first half, Magic Carpet Ride, I Got You Hooked on a Feeling, Little Green Bag, stuff like that.
That's a good pick. Thank you. Love the Stephen Wright. That's so cool.
Yeah. Just something different, something to mix it up.
Oh, man. That's a good one. All right. So how about this? Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will share our next five picks, and then we'll talk more about the island, which I love and I just want to live on. So we will be right back. Welcome back to Movies, Films, and Flicks. And during the break, Nick listened to one of Stuck in the Middle with You and cut off Siegel's wing. It was horrifying. But you said the seagull had it coming, so I'm trusting you on this.
I mean, it happens. The other seagulls know what to expect. So when I say, hey, birds, tone it down, they immediately tone it down.
Show them who's boss.
Yeah, you got to let them know. And you got to leave the wing out for a little bit so they know you're not playing around. It's not – you're not ashamed and embarrassed and you clean it up right away. It's like this is a sign for everyone to know. When I say shush, we shush.
Oh.
If I say, hey, we're going to play the quiet game, all the gulls are going to be grand champions because they're not talking.
When the rescue crew comes, the gulls are gulling. You're like, hey, gulls. And they all stop. They're going, help, help.
Yeah. Oh, you taught them how to say help? No, they're scared of me.
Oh, man. And then you play Jock Jams and everyone just starts dancing.
And the hermit comes out. Who's that guy? And he panics and runs away. Oh, we'll never see him again.
All right, you want to hear my third pick?
Of course.
Oh, man. All right, so I have three good ones. Where am I going to go? I'm going to go funky with you, okay? Because okay. You're going to think I'm crazy for this, but I don't care. I'm taking the Pitch Perfect soundtrack.
Okay.
And I know you're like, what? Why are you doing that, Mark? But it's just pure joy. Like, I love the Bright Lights, Bigger City Magic, Troublemaker's performance. I love the Bella's final performance. There's some Right Round in there. There's some Party in the USA. There's Since You've Been Gone, Cups, Let It Whip, Don't Stop the Music. I just think it'd be fun. I think, I don't know. Listen. We're making this island seem like it is a paradise. But we're going to be by ourselves for a year.
Oh, for sure.
And so you're going to need a good pick-me-up every now and again. And I just think putting on the Pitch Perfect soundtrack will make my day better. It'll make me happier. Because when that guy comes out and starts singing I Got the Magic in Me because he does all the magic tricks, it's just pure joy. Mm-hmm. So I am doing that. I'm taking Pitch Perfect, Troublemakers. And I could even try to beatbox with him. Like, learn all the, like, you know, I can't do any of that. But I could do it on my long bike rides to my mountainous weekend retreat. I could practice beatboxing and singing. And I could pretend I'm one of them.
That could be what the treehouse is for. The treehouse is for cups only.
Whoa. And I could get coconuts to play it.
Perfect.
I could make coconut cups, play it. It just seems, I don't know, it's just so alive. And it's so fun. Yeah. And nothing about it is heavy. Nothing about it is, like, you know, I own the Crow soundtrack, right?
Mm-hmm.
Loved it. But I'm not listening to the Crow soundtrack when I am on this island. I love the Garden State soundtrack. I'm not going to take it. Like, Once is one of my all-time favorite soundtracks. But falling slowly, alone on an island for a year, I just can't do it. So Sing Street would be pretty cool. Imagine driving around on an island listening to Drive It Like You Stole It.
Or at that point, Drive It Like You Built It.
Oh my gosh, and the Riddle of the Seagull. What a fun time. So I love that album, right? But none of them brings out the joy that Pitch Perfect does. Because there's nothing in it that is a downer. It's all just happy. And you're going to need that by yourself. Like, I love Falling Slowly. It's one of my favorite songs ever. But you're just listening to, like, taking a sinking boat and pointing it home. And you're just on this island by yourself. Like, that's rough. I don't want melancholy during my stay at this amazing island retreat slash spa with volcanic ash that you can put on your face and just wonderful complexion. Yeah, so for me, I just want that Pitch Perfect soundtrack. It's just joy. It is joy for me. I don't know. I had to do it, so that's why I'm picking that.
I think the joy is twofold, because the joy is from the music. It's all, like you said, positive and uplifting. But there's this extra level of I'm going to harmonize with them. And you can practice different levels of harmony mm-hmm. as they sing. So it's like you're singing with the group.
And listen, we all want to be part of an a cappella band that is as good as these a cappella bands. Like, we don't want to be in a real a cappella band.
No.
Like, we want to be in one that sounds like this group. Does that make sense? Yes.
No, absolutely. You want to be in the fun sounding one. You don't want to be in one where it's like they're taking it very seriously to the point where it sounds automated and perfect. Whereas this is like, it feels natural because they're just having fun. Like, hey, we're just singing a bunch of songs. We're just doing a riff off on the 80s. Like, no big deal.
Exactly. And just, I got the music in me. This belts.
I forgot all about that song. That was a big song for a while. What was that, B.O.B. and Rivers Cuomo singing the hook?
Yeah. And then, like, it just, but you know what? It's just pure joy music. Like, and also, you know, Flo Rida, like, I'm from Florida. So, like, any if you're from, if you've lived in Florida for over 10 years, you love Pitbull and Flo Rida. So, this here in Flo Rida, for the longest time, I never put those two together because I'm an idiot. Flo Rida, Florida. But mm-hmm. it's wonderful name. But they, just hearing that song, I don't know. I dig it. I had to take it. And if people try to make fun of me for it, I'll just be like, listen, I've been doing nothing but coconut squats out here and coconut curls. And I've been beating up coconut people. So I could steamroll the entire Coast Guard if they make fun of me for this. So
yeah, they'd be next on the list. And if people hate on it, it's like, what, you hate joy?
Yeah, exactly.
You hate happiness? What's the point of that? Why? Silly.
You know, when I was thinking about my squads, it's like, oh man, like, I love Regulate from Above the Rim, but I don't, that album doesn't, like, bring me a lot of joy. Like, I love the De La Soul song from Judgment Night, but I don't want to listen to, like, the old, grunge bands of the 90s all right. the time on my, or, like, single soundtrack. That's great, but I just don't want to deal with that. This one, pure joy. So what's your fourth pick?
My fourth pick is the Social Network soundtrack.
Oh, Atticus Ross and
yeah.
Trent Reznor.
Absolutely.
Who saw that coming?
I know I didn't. I know Trent Reznor had worked with Fincher before when he did, was it Seven? They had done a couple collaborations and things. But I feel like after that, it didn't really – nothing really came of it. And then he came back around for this and you're thinking like, okay, Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails, like, what is he really going to bring to the table? And then he blows it out of the water. And then he does it again with Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. Gone Girl, solid, nothing wrong with it, but not as memorable, I think, as Social Network. And then all of a sudden, what, he's doing the score for Soul?
I loved your reaction. I can remember I got a screener for Soul and then I made some comments on it. And your comment was, what? Trent Reznor?
Yeah, yeah. And the craziest thing, I think I read it like several months ago. I read something about that. But then when you posted about it, I'm like, what? Wait, the same guy? Like,
oh, man. Just remembering his videos for Closer and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It's like, look, kids, I want you to listen to this music video called Soul and not the other one. What are you doing with that animal? Nothing. Nothing with that animal.
We've joked around about Joy Division before, and now that we're talking about Trent Reznor, he did do a good Joy Division cover on the Crow soundtrack. I don't know the name of the song. Yeah. Legit cover, though. It's good. Because it's hard to cover Joy Division.
It's certainly not easy.
The Pitch Perfect 3 did well. I was surprised that the German band did all Joy Division songs.
That's different. And you're kind of surprised there's not more polka than what there was. A lot of oompa.
What's your jam on this soundtrack of Social Network?
This is very specific, but I really, really like Intriguing Possibilities. It builds. I'm a big fan of arpeggios. So anything that's like dun 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 dun, and then it just changes slightly where they put a different note in there, and it just keeps changing and evolving. And then you start adding these like pads and these behind the scenes like synths, and it's this thing that keeps building. This does that, and it hits this apex where, and this is going to sound weird, but anytime it gets to that part in the song, to me, it sounds like staring into the sun.
Whoa.
I know that sounds really weird, but there's just this moment where I'm like, everything just kind of makes sense for a little bit. And then we go into the next song and you kind of, you know, step away from that feeling. But that's the number one for me. And then obviously the second one is that cover of In the Hall of the Mountain King. I mean, you have to. And that's one you put on when you hop in the lagoon and you're doing laps back and forth because you have to.
During the rowing scene, didn't they have a good what was the music for that scene?
And so, In the Hall of the Mountain King.
Yeah, that was – sorry. Yeah. I knew it. Yeah.
No, you're good.
Yeah. Oh, man, that'll get you going. You brought the lagoon, so I figured that should have been it. Oh, yeah, that's –
absolutely.
Man, that gets you going.
And what's nice is a lot of it, like when they do Hand Covers Bruise and Hand the Reprise for that, it's very self-reflect. I don't know if you notice this in the score, but in the beginning, whenever they play that little like piano jingle that's mm-hmm. kind of like Mark's theme, in the beginning, the piano is very close. But as the film goes on, the piano gets farther and farther away in the song. It sounds muffled. It sounds like it's coming from another room because Mark himself is becoming more and more distant from those around him and society in general. And I think a lot of time on that island, you're going to be very self-reflecting. You're going to go ahead and chop down and find a way to build a press, and you're going to make a journal, and you're going to want to write in that. And I think a lot of these songs will pull out those emotions of like, you know, hey, who am I? What am I? You know, am I going to change on this island? Is that stash of Coke Zero going to last, or am I going to have to switch to coconut water? I just think that it covers a lot. It can be very hyper-focused when I'm building something. It could be, you know, Hall of the Mountain King getting me going when I do my laps, or just self-reflection, watching the sunset and going like, okay, one day down, one more to go. Gary has almost learned the tenor saxophone.
Do I want to walk 2 miles to the coffee plant?
You know what's crazy? Coffee plant actually sounds like a legit coffee place.
Run by the hermit. Like somehow the hermit just brews a mean cup of joe. And you just get a bag of delicious coffee from all different parts of the island once a week from the hermit.
Is this a Haitian pour over? How does this happen?
Chemex. Oh, man. I love it. Dude, that's – what a great – you know what? I'm going to go buy that vinyl now. I need it. And
it's
I just got the Tenet soundtrack on vinyl, and I got the Say Anything soundtrack from Mondo Vinyl as well. So I'm very – and I pre-ordered the Barb and Star Mondo Vinyl album.
I need to see that movie because I've heard nothing but good things.
My favorite movie of 2021. Like it's that, then
wow,
everything okay. by 8 miles. It's the weirdest thing, and it's beautiful.
Okay.
So I'm very excited. You want to hear my fourth pick?
I can't think of anything else I want more.
Okay, I'm going to take the Tron Legacy soundtrack from Daft Punk.
What a good pick.
Because I also – this is a random story, but my mother-in-law, we went to go buy it on Mondo, but it sold out in like 8 minutes. It legit did. So I don't know why she did it, but for Christmas she found one on eBay and just like paid a whole
bunch.
Yeah, and got me the soundtrack. Like, geez, this is awesome. Like, what an amazing gift for Christmas. But I know I talked about I don't want a lot of music to pump me up, but Daft Punk, when I listen to them, like, Around the World and just, you know, Up All Night, like, all these songs to get or Get Lucky, they've always just given me joy. Like, even their harder ones, like they have some pumpers, too, that just gets the blood flowing, but mm-hmm. it never gets me angry. Like there's some like trap music out there, like that the discordant beats to get your heart rate going that can be kind of like feeling weird. This stuff, I elicit just nothing but joy with Daft Punk, and this score is beautiful. And I think D-Rez would be my running song on
the
island.
That's
the one. For sure. Yeah. I mean, I would an overture. I mean, like there's just so like grid, like there's some really good jams on this. Like Disc War is cool. But, D-Rezzed is, like, what I would play over and over. And that would just be my jam on the island. And it, like I said, it wouldn't get me like angry. It wouldn't get me pumped up. It would just get me up. Because, you know, days on this island, when it's 72 degrees at all times and sunny, some days it's overcast, plentiful shade, no poisonous snakes, you're still going to feel down, right? Oh, the hermit hasn't brought me my coffee, so I had to go walk and get it myself, right?
Yeah.
So I'm depressed. So yeah. I would put this song to give me a pick-me-up.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, like you said, a song like Overture, that's the wake-up song. Oh. That's the sun is coming up, and here comes this, and it starts off nice and slow, but then that orchestra kicks in, and you're like, I'm ready to take on the day. There's, like you said, it's not an angry, it's not an aggressive, it's just like a, I'm ready. It's exactly. That self-affirming, like, yeah, this is happening.
And just Derez, I love. I just love that soundtrack, and I just love blasting it. So yeah, I'm taking that Tron Legacy soundtrack.
What's your pick?
What's your last one?
My last one is Purple Rain.
Yes. One of us had to do it.
I love this album, man. I can't remember the last time I didn't listen to it at least twice a month. I'm borderline obsessed with this album. I find something new about it that I love every time I go to listen to it. Like, it is absolutely phenomenal. To me, there's no other album like it out there when it comes to like a concept album or like a movie soundtrack based album. It's just, it tells the story without even needing to be told the story. And a lot of albums, I think, have a hard time doing that. A lot of albums can tell a story, but it just conveys the emotions. Whereas this one really breaks down like what that story is and how it's affecting everybody around it. And they're just really good jams. Like Let's Go Crazy, way to kick off that album. And then that just insane rock and roll freak out breakdown. The guitar solo in When Doves Cry, first 15, 20 yeah. seconds. Are you kidding me? Like,
wonderful.
And then, you know what I mean? You got something on a little darker side with Darling Nikki. Because you need to have a release,
yep.
You know, and sometimes you need a little extra help to get you there. Darling Nikki could be that song. Even Computer Blue, to a certain extent, like in that beginning, it's a little like, oh, what's going on here? But there's just like Baby, I'm a Star. That's another one of those pick me up ones. Maybe not to the same level as Derezzed, but it's definitely like, yeah, I'm ready to take on this day. This is what's going to happen. And then off you go.
And I'm pretty sure you said it, but I would die for you. Come on.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. And there's just a little something for everybody in there. And then again, when you want to feel a little melancholy, Take Me With You, you know, you can kind of sing along to it. And you're like, yeah, one of these days. But Let's Go Crazy. Let's get nuts. Slip on a purple banana till they throw us in the truck. I'm for it.
Okay. I have a question for you, because I have four options that were going to be on my last pick, and this was one of them. But it's, if you went to an island and you saw someone's five albums, and I guarantee, like, people are going to look at like Pitch Perfect and be like, "What? Ghost Dog? What?" But everyone who sees Purple Rain is going to go, "Nice!" Like that's a, like there's, you know what I mean? Like the Coast Guard is going to be looking at you going, cool. Around the world, doesn't matter where our island is, people see that album and are like, yeah, Purple Rain. Like, it's a, you can't deny the excellence of that album.
No. And even the album artwork, you know what I mean? Just the front of it, all the flowers littered about, and then just him on a motorcycle, just letting you know what's going on, letting you know who he is, what he's about. And you can't go wrong with it. You really can't. Like, and then Purple Rain, for those nights where you've had one too many, you know, coconut rums, and you're just screaming into the night because you miss everybody, but you're going to get through and you're going to be okay.
I'm going to listen to it right now. I want to, when you look at this album cover, you just, what is this guy getting into? He's leaving this place. Is he leaving or is he going? Where is this smoke coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's, what a good one.
Who's the woman in the background? What's her story? Is she bidding goodbye or is she like, hey, what's up? Welcome.
I mean, this is
hey, are we gonna twist or what?
Do you want to dance? Oh yeah, no, like literally, yeah.
Yeah, dude, you know.
Stop! I love it. Perfect, perfect pick. You know, listen, it's like what they I was researching it. Like Rolling Stone said, it's the eighth best album on its 500 greatest albums of all time. It's in the Grammy Hall of Fame. It's in Library of Congress's Natural Recording Registry. Like, it's
as it sold, should.
Sold over 25 million copies. It's like one of the best-selling like, this album is so great, it's not a fluke. If someone goes, the Purple Rain album's overrated, like, they're woof. Like, that's
you're wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I know there's a lot of what's the word? I know it's subjective. But if someone's trying to say that the Purple Rain soundtrack isn't good, they're just being provocative.
Yeah, they're looking to spar with you, and they're probably going to come out and say something, you know, like, I don't know, Under the Cherry Moon is superior. And it's like, well, it's not, because here we are with this. So what about Rainbow Bridge? Again, it's not. It's Purple Rain is what it's about. Is it his best album? Yeah, probably. But, I mean, you can't go wrong with something that's certified 13 times platinum.
Exactly.
Certified.
Listen, it's good, but it probably should have sold like 17 million, not 25 million.
Yeah. Like, get out of here. You're going to spend 24 consecutive weeks atop the Billboard 200. Okay. Yeah, that's terrible.
What a great album. And it's short, too. It's, but all the songs are so listenable. Like, sometimes if you take you know what's good about this one is? Like, Shea Serrano has a podcast where he's like the No Skip podcast, where you listen to albums and don't skip anything. Ooh. I might skip a couple Daft Punk Tron songs, right? I might skip a couple things here and there. This is a no-skip album for me.
Oh, absolutely. What's that podcast called again? I'm going to legit
I think it's called No Skip.
No Skip. I am a very big you listen to the whole album. I'm not a singles guy. We are in this album, and we're going to do it from start to finish. Like, don't jump around. We're not just going to peek in and peek back out. Like, no, we're going to do this. And this is how it's going to be. Like, a lot of my friends hate it because they'll be like, oh, let's put this on. Well, better get ready to listen to the whole album because that's what we're doing.
You know, in Point Break, when Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze high five in the air, like, that's you in the album.
Pretty much.
I love
Pretty much.
All right. So, okay. Take out Purple Rain. I was going to do the Drive soundtrack, but that's too melancholy. Again, it would just make me want to hit people with hammers. I don't want to do that. Deep Blue Sea, I love, but I'm not taking that album. But that would be, like, people, if I took Deep Blue Sea, the album, I would immediately regret it. But I think that would keep me hungry. Like, every time you look at it, you just get a rise. Does that make sense? I was like, I took this too far. But I do love the Deep Blue Sea album. And the Lost in Translation album. I love Too Young by Phoenix. I think it's just an excellent album. But it also... When I watched Lost in Translation, I immediately went and bought the soundtrack and bought the poster. Like, I fell in love with that movie. And it just sort of elicits a lot of emotion. So I don't want to bring that either. So my last one, and also, Varsity Blues has a really good soundtrack. Like, they have Van Halen, Hot for Teacher, they have Thunderstruck, they have My Hero by Foo Fighters. They have some pretty good, they have Aaliyah on there, Collective Soul. And I'm not taking that. But they also have Green Day. Not taking Varsity Blues soundtrack. I'm going to take the Dazed and Confused soundtrack. And I was thinking about this. I was like, this is a very pretentious story, but one of the happiest moments of my professional life, I was working on a sequel to a very big movie that had an awesome mix. And I was listening to the awesome mix from the first movie driving to the second movie to work on it. And that was just one of the all time, like, this is pretty cool. Like, this is neat. Like, this is a good spot to be in. And I was thinking about maybe the awesome mixes, but then I just thought, I'm like big into Foghat since Jim Carrey at the MTV Movie Awards. And then they couldn't afford Led Zeppelin, so they used a lot of Foghat in this movie. And so I just thought to myself, I'm bringing Dazed and Confused. And there is an even more Dazed and Confused album, but I guess I'll just stick with the first one because it has this single version of Slow Ride, not the 48-minute guitar solo one that makes you exhausted and hating life that I had on the Foghat Live album that was stuck in my cassette player for years that I bought at a gas station. So you have Slow Ride, you have School's Out, you have Stranglehold. Come on now, walk into a pool hall. Like, I would make a pool hall on the island to walk into it playing Stranglehold.
And like, seagulls are like, oh no.
A bamboo pool hall. And just the turtle, the local turtle sunning themselves like, oh, not again.
Stunning themselves.
Oh, Stranglehold's on. Hoffmeyer's walking into the bamboo pool hall. And you got Cherry Bomb, Fox on the Run. Another perfect song right here is Lowrider come on. When you're like, there's no better chill song than that. Like when you're cruising around on your bike that you've somehow made an engine on and fueled by by coconut water blending with oil that has been coming to your island because of an oil tanker leak that you're blending together. Horrible. And you're cleaning off cute animals on your island, and you have like a whole Ace Ventura thing going on. And then you also have Tuesday's Gone. I mean, that's, come on now. Tuesday's Gone? Come on. I know that it gets a little tough, but whatever. And then you have Rock and Roll All Night. You have Paranoid. I mean, it's just a banger album. It's a banger. You know what's interesting, though? They don't have Sweet Emotion on this. And that was played in the movie, which is kind of interesting. But, Sweet Emotion, Aerosmith. Yeah. But yeah, just these songs in themselves, the 56-minute album, perfection. Like, I just, the single version of Slow Ride, the 3-minute and 58 version, it's perfect. Just, but I mean, listen, Fox on the Run, just jamming out to that. Stranglehold, come on now. Love Hurts, I might skip that. But I mean, it's just some good jams in here. And you got, like, Tuesday's Gone is good for feeling kind of melancholy.
Yeah.
Just walking on the beach, just, you know, you're wearing a great V-neck. And you're just looking and you're just looking depressed on the beach, looking into the, it's magic hour on the island. You're just listening to Tuesday's Gone. And your amazing speaker system has like all over 8 miles. Occasionally your hermit's like, hey man, can I like unplug the speakers when I'm in the area? Cause like you're listening to D-Rez 70 times in a row.
Hey, are you okay, man?
Yeah. You've listened to D-Rez 4,000 times in a row. Like what's going on? Hey, what's the song?
Spotify.
Now, what's the song you've listened to? You say that to the hermit?
Yeah.
Okay, Spotify, mind your own business. Well, it's hard to mind my own business. I'm trying to make coffee and sleep for you, know, make coffee for you and sleep, and you're just playing D-Rez. Like, no more jock jams for you. Oh.
I don't like it anyway.
Yeah. Dun, 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 psych.
Gotcha.
But yeah, just I would just play Slow Ride a lot. Just it's a banger album, and you got to have it. So
it's absolutely phenomenal. I can't pick a weak track. I think you would have a very, very hard time trying to pick. I mean, outside for you, obviously it's Slow Ride, but picking a number one track, like what it's, there's so much good. Like you said, Stranglehold, like that is a little long at 8:24, but it's the right amount of long. You know what I mean? Like say what you will about Ted Nugent as a person. Like he rips on this song. He knows what to do. And then you got Highway Star. Like that's another one where you're just, it's, this is such a good pick, Mark. Like this is a really, really good pick to the point where I'm like, now I have to go pick up this vinyl and ask myself for weeks on end why I haven't picked it up sooner.
I bought
this. This is just so good.
Dazed and Confused book. That was, someone wrote about the making of Dazed and Confused. So I'm going to read that on my next trip. I'm very excited.
Nice. So
I can't wait to read that. But it's just, I immediately went to this album because when did this movie come out? 94? 93 it came out.
I think,
and so
yeah.
At the time I was 11 and I was watching whenever I wanted at 11. And so I remember getting this maybe from a Blockbuster, maybe 94 when I was 12.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're 12 years old. You're not quite worldly yet. But then you hear this soundtrack and you hear just Fog Hat. You hear like just like Aerosmith and you're just listening to this music. School's Out. They play that perfectly. And you're just at 12 years old. I was like, man, this album's legit. Like it made me so happy. So yeah, those are my 5 albums that I would bring. And I think I'd have a good time on this island.
You're going to have a phenomenal time on the island. I will say this about Dazed and Confused. I remember the first time I watched it and I'm like, man, Ben Affleck must be really old because this film is in the 70s. And then it dawned on me, no dummy, this is a film from the 90s that takes place in the 70s. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Like, that's how believable it was. Like, it put me right there. I mean, not like I was in the 70s, but you know what I mean? Like, it puts me to where I'm like, oh, this is really what happened. And it's so good. I'm going to watch this tonight. I got the Criterion Blu-ray on the shelf.
Oh, I love Criterion Blu-rays. I got to get Election too. And I have to get Fast Times coming out. I already own them on Blu-ray, but like, hey, I'll buy the Criterion. That's what I do anyway. I had all the Wes Anderson movies on Blu-ray, then I bought the Criterion Blu-rays.
Yeah, I did the exact same thing. The
support movies.
Absolutely, absolutely, and their quality too. Like when the Pan's Labyrinth Blu-ray came out, the transfer and remaster they did is much, surprisingly, much, much better than the 4K UHD Blu-ray they put out. Because I'm a snob, and I go, as when UHD came out, I picked that up too and started watching it. But you'd be shocked at how phenomenal these transfers are compared to their other counterparts. Like, it is like truly something else. So I'm physical media all the way. You can't stream quality like that.
Now we're going to, I'm going to do something crazy for you.
Do it.
You can take three additional songs from any soundtracks ever made. So you can pick three extra songs with three.
Wow.
And it could be songs in a movie, like just whatever it is.
Okay. The first one is, I very specific. It's going to be Arthur's Theme by Christopher Cross from the Arthur album.
Ooh.
And the reason I'm picking it is when Christopher Cross hits that chorus, he takes it to like a couple notes up. He takes it to this place where it's the equivalent of putting your arms out at the sky and just letting the wind caress you and hold you and tell you that everything's going to be okay. He's able to hit these notes that just, it makes me believe again, like just across the board, like his voice, it just soars and it's so, so good. So the first one is that Christopher Cross singing Arthur's Theme. The second one is Bob Dylan singing Man and Me in the Big Lebowski. When I was living in New Orleans working at a nonprofit, I was always the first one in there and I kind of opened up everything, got it ready for the day. I always plugged in the old iPod video and I would hit play and I would open up the building and start my day to that song for like a year and a half. And it was so great. So, so great. The third one, let's go. It's a little, not a, it's melancholy. This one's definitely melancholy of all of them. Oh, or do I go that one? I'm kicking around two in my head. Oh no. I'm stuck.
Oh, no.
Okay. I'll jump in
if you want. Yeah. Do you want me to drop a couple so you can think?
I got it. Okay. I'm just going to go and roll with it. I'm going to do Going to Acapulco by Calexico and Jim James off the I'm Not There soundtrack.
Ooh.
Have you ever seen I'm Not There?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Phenomenal. But there's a scene where they sing Going to Acapulco and they're in like a pagoda in the middle of town and Jim James dolled up like Dylan was during the Rolling Thunder review tour. And I'm a massive My Morning Jacket fan and Jim James fan. So anything he does, I'm just there immediately. But combined with the horns of Calexico, it's like you can't go wrong with that. Yeah, it's a little sad at sometimes, but it's still really, really beautiful at the same time. And sometimes you need those beautiful, sad songs in your life to make you appreciate the happy ones you listen to.
Oh, what a great selection.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to take Pina Colada Berg from Club Dread, performed by Bill Paxton.
Oh.
Pina Colada. Talk about a tropical treat. Suck straight from the coconut's teeth. Make your short hairs grow. Pina Colada Berg. Yeah. I just want to hear Bill Paxton singing. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take Scotty Doesn't Know from Eurotrip.
Ooh, good one.
You know what's interesting about that song? I do a lot of jump roping. And just, I don't know, keeps you spry. And I was listening to it the other day because I have a running mix. And so the whole time he's like bragging about how he's with Fiona. But at the end of it, he's tore up about it. He's like, Fiona needs to break up with this guy because this is tearing me apart now. And it's quite a layered song.
It's one of those songs where it all of a sudden it changes and there's a whole new look at it.
He becomes sad about it. Like, this is great, but I also really like her now and she won't break up with him. And this is just going to end tragically. So doing that. And then I'm going to take Deepest Bluest from LL Cool J.
You have to.
So I'm bringing some weird songs, but I'm taking, because they're all specifically for soundtracks, so I feel good about them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, those are my three.
Good picks. Good picks.
This is okay. Last thing before we get out of here. What's the song you've listened to the most in the last 10 years.
Wow.
And what's the song you've listened to most in the last year?
Wow. Song I've listened to the most in the last year is Touch of Grey by the Grateful Dead. Especially the chorus, I Will Get By, I Will Survive. The whole song is actually really sad. It's the idea of, it's this person that just doesn't want to accept happiness. They just want to live in this really sad state. But at the same time, they're hopeful. They're hopeful that they're going to get out of it. They're hopeful that things are going to get better. It's just going to take a little bit of time. And I think that really encapsulates the last year that everybody's kind of been going through. The song I've listened to the most in the last 10 years. Wow. Oh, my goodness. Like, so much has happened in the last 10 years. Like, that's – how about you? Do you have some in mind? Because I need
Last 10 years, it's the first single by The Format, which is what Jack Antonoff and Nate Roos before they were in Fun. So it's called the first single, you know, first single, you know me. I listen to it on repeat. I think that's like a song that I absolutely listen to on repeat. I love that album. That's the song. And then the last, I guess I know the song I've listened to the most this year. There's this guy named Kenny Hoopla.
And, oh my gosh, I love Kenny Hoopla.
Yeah, and Travis Barker found him, and he has a song called Estella. That it's just a 2 minute banger.
Okay.
And have you heard Estella?
Not Estella yet. No, I'm real big into How Can I Rest in Peace If I'm Buried by the Highway.
That's a badass song.
It's so good.
But Estella, it's legit. It's just 2 minutes and I just play it on repeat. I love that song. So yeah, I got Kenny Hoopla and The Format. Those are my two. Like last year and 10 years.
I think for 10 years. For me, it has to be Time by Pink Floyd.
Nice.
Time, or that Pink Floyd's favorite band of all time, that song, favorite song of all time. I've listened to it at different points in my life, and there's times that when I listen to it, I can immediately flash back to something else. Like when Gilmore goes to rip into that solo, if I close my eyes at the right time, preferably not when I'm driving, but if I close my eyes at the right time, I can picture the windows are down in my Jeep. It's unnecessarily hot in New Orleans, and I'm driving right past the Superdome.
Nice.
Like, I can just immediately picture that. And sometimes, it's not happy memories, but I can just – that song can put me anywhere at any time, and it's just so – it would have to be that. I think it absolutely would have to be that.
The song "Damn It" puts me anywhere at any time by Blink-182. I have a Ooh. Tattoo that says "A Day Late, a Buck Short" from that song.
What?
Yeah. Nice. So
very nice.
Yeah, I was like a feral child of the '90s. Like Adam's Song and all those things were like
feral
big.
Child.
All those songs were like huge for me. But yeah, "Damn It." Like I remember in college because I got a writing degree. I was like, a lot of pretentious classes are like, bring in a poem, and I brought in "Damn It," and I got in front of the class, much like I do with "Too Fast, Too Furious." I just convince everyone it's good. I convinced everyone in the class that "Damn It" was like a work of art, and everyone's like, "Oh wow, that's a good." And have you heard like recently? I think 100+ artists covered "Damn It," so there's just a boatload of "Damn It." There's I bought a banjo cover of it that was
what?
Bluegrass cover of "Damn It." Oh, it's beautiful. So yeah, like I'm just super emo. Have you just realized? Because I have the Format blank. Like I'm emo, but I listen to everything. I really do. But I'm super emo, so that's like the song I loved. But no, I appreciate, dude, this was fun, man. We got to talk about Desert Island movies. We got to talk about soundtracks. Like, this is a blast.
Absolutely, it was. And I, if we all of a sudden need to take 10 albums to an Arctic research station, let me know. I'll join you for that conversation too, because I think it would be very different than a Desert Island.
I think we should do a Purple Rain draft where you and I draft songs from Purple Rain.
Ooh, four versus four. What's in your four?
Yeah, exactly. Like you pick one off the table. That's a good one. What do you think?
I like that. I like that a lot.
All right, we'll do that next. That'll be a quickie.
It's bold and specific, but it's good.
The Purple Rain soundtrack draft.
Yes.
I like it.
And then we'll do Tron Legacy. It'll be a two-parter.
Oh, I love Tron Legacy. I love that. Oh, man. Derezzed. If you took it, I'd just leave.
Oh, but,
So I'll make sure to include it in all the posts I write for this, but listen to Radio Rehack. It's wonderful. Yeah. And then listen to Deep Blue Sea, the podcast. You've been on that like 3 times. So check out those episodes with him. But yeah, man, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. As always, I love coming on the show and talking to you.
This is great. So for me, Mark Hoffmeyer, for Nick Rehack, this is Movies, Films, and Flicks. We'll see you next week.